Blog Talk Radio.
All right. This is Elder G. Bazaar coming to you from Warren, Ohio. With greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on Blog Talk Radio, watchman on the wall, watching, looking, hoping, expecting for the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the only hope that we have in the world today that's filled with violence and crime and war and pestilence and diseases. We're getting ready to leave this old planet Earth. Amen. It ain't going to be long. You're going to look for me and I'll be gone. I'm shouting this afternoon because I got something to shout about. Jesus Christ died for me 2,000 years ago. Amen. Suffering on the cross, put in the grave, and on the third day he got up with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. And he told his disciples, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I will come again. It's been 2,000 years Jesus Christ has been gone. Amen. And I've been preaching this gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for 57 years. Amen. This October the 15th will be 57 years I've been preaching the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, I won't hold back. I won't hold up. I'll just tell you just like it is. You better be ready because the next event that's coming up on the planet that's going to be is the Feast of Trumpets, and that's the rapture. Amen. That's the rapture. The rapture is covered by the Feast of the Trumpets because there's seven feast days or seven appointed times that God is going to move. He's been moving ever since the beginning of creation, but in these last days, he's moving because he's coming back after a church, not the Baptist church, not the Presbyterian church, not the Catholic church, not the white church, not the black church, not the Jewish church. He's coming out the church that's been purchased with his own blood. He shed his blood on Calvary's cross for my sin because the wages of sin is death. And the gift of God's eternal life. And Jesus Christ took my place, your place, took the place of every human being upon the planet. And he was nailed to the cross for our sins because somebody had to pay. And Jesus Christ was the only man that could pay for the penalty of sin. Why? Because he was God in the flesh. By that, what I mean, God became flesh, seen of angels, justified by the Spirit, received up in the glory, and is coming back again. This is Elder Bazaar coming to you from Warren, Ohio. It's a pleasure to be with you. Amen. Coming back to you at a great, 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 great good news. Good news. Nothing but good news. And the world can't nothing to offer me. The world got misery and agony and pain and groaning and it's in a mess. It's in a total mess. And the only one that can bring you out of this mess, the only one, is the Jesus, is the Christ that died on Calvary's cross. Amen. Before we go into the word, let's go bow our heads. Eternal Father, we thank you for this opportunity one more time. We thank you for the love that you have for us, that you love the world so much that you gave your only begotten Son. We ask you right now, use me, my lips of clay. Lord, let me hide behind the cross because we know down at the cross is where the Savior died. Gave his life to him, every boy and girl, every grown up, every old person, every wino, every drunkard, every liar, every homosexual, every lesbianism, every incest, every sodomite can receive Jesus Christ in their life if they want to be saved, because that's the only way, amen, man can be saved is through Jesus Christ, not through nobody but him. Acts 4:12. Let's read that. Let's see where we can find out, amen, how a man can be saved. Go to the book of Acts, and let's see what we can find in Acts 4:12. Let's see. Amen. It says in Acts 4:12, right now, on the minute, it says this. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You hear that? I'm gonna read that again. Let's read it. It said, neither is there any other salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the word of God. That's what the Bible says. That's not no dictionary. It's not no commentary. It's not no written up by man. This is what the word of God has been inspired for Peter to write. Amen. After the day of Pentecost, the fourth verse, he gave to those that was on the day of Pentecost. He's letting them know there is no other name whereby men can be saved in the name of Jesus Christ. Then what you're talking about, a lot of people believe that there's many ways to heaven. But let me tell you, let me tell you something. Let's see what John, let me get in the word of God this afternoon. Let's see what John 10 say. John, St. John, the Gospel of St. John, 10th chapter says this. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, this is John, 10th chapter. St. John said, verily, verily, this is Christ talking. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not in, not by the door. I say it again, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. He leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. This is Jesus Christ saying this. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door. Who is the door? Jesus Christ is the door. He's the door. He's the door. There is no other entity, no other denomination, or no other occult program other that can enter into heaven just by the name of your church, just by the name of your name, just by you saying that you belong to a certain denomination, that you are going to heaven. Jesus said that's not the way, that your name of your church is not the way. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way to get to God. Jesus is the way to get acquainted with God. Because Jesus told the disciples, told the Pharisees and Sadducees, I am the way. I am the way. No man can get to the Father but by me. You got to come to Jesus Christ if you expect to be saved. You cannot be saved by works. You can't be saved by your looks. You can't be saved by your money. You can't be saved by your prestige. You can't be saved by your education. You cannot be saved no other way than what Jesus said. If you know me, you know my Father. I'm in the Father, and the Father in me. So when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you immediately know who God is. Jesus Christ is God Almighty in the flesh. And it was only Jesus Christ that died on Calvary. Come on now. The devil don't like Calvary. The devil don't like the crucifixion. But he's the one that caused it, because he figured that he could get rid of Jesus Christ by introducing and energizing the human race. That if we can get rid of this man, we can have our own religion. We can have our own way to get to heaven. We can do what we want to do. We can do what we can say what we want to say. But when you get to know Jesus Christ, it's a different story. Because the Bible says, and therefore, if a man is in Christ, behold, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, everything is new. So when you have the the anointing, you have the commitment to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior by repenting of your sins, guess what? You know who you are. You know that Jesus Christ died for you. He suffered for you. He came down this earth for you, that you may have a right to the tree of life, and he's the only one that has life that can give it to every human being. And the world today is saying, let all religions join together and serve the God that you want the way you want. It's not going to happen. It ain't going to work. It's going to fail. is going to fail, is going to fail, because there's only one way to get to God, through Christ and Christ alone. Let's see what Matthew says about this year one-way thing. This one-way thing is, a lot of people don't like that one-way thing. They like to fix up their own stuff. They like to fix up and say, well, I'm going to heaven because I'm a staunch Baptist, I'm a Presbyterian, I'm this and I'm that. There's so many different kinds of religion, and none of them can get you to God. None of them can save you. None of them can give you what Christ gave you. None of them died for you. None of them suffered for you. No man on this planet has got the audacity to go on the cross for you. You can't even go yourself. But Jesus went, because he was the only way that man could receive Jesus Christ, is through coming to the cross. The 7th chapter of Matthew, let's see what it says. It says 7:14. So let's go back up a little bit. It says, enter in at the straight gate. But wide is the gate. Wide is the gate. And broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. I don't know what people are thinking about. Listen. Jesus said it again. He said, enter ye at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many, many, many people will go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth into life, and very few will find it. What you saying, preacher? I'm saying many people, that they are dying lost. They're dying lost because they won't come in at the straight gate. Jesus Christ is the straight gate. He is the narrow way. He is the way to eternal life. Jesus Christ said, repent or you shall likewise perish. If you don't turn from your sins, if you don't turn to God by faith through Jesus Christ, if you don't refuse evil and iniquity and debauchery of what sin can do to you, if you don't return back to God and repent of your sins, and you die unrepentant, you die without repenting of your sins, you will bust hell wide open. You will bust hell wide open because, let me tell you, no sin will ever enter the kingdom of God. Sin was there at one time. Satan, Lucifer, before he became Satan, his name was Lucifer, son of the morning. He was the son of the day star. He was the one, amen, that figured that he could overthrow God Almighty. He was the one that told the heavenly host, let's rebel against the eternal one, realizing that Lucifer was a beautiful angel. And that's what got him in trouble, because he thought he was so beautiful that he figured that because he was good looking, he could overrule God and lift it up in pride. He took one third of the angelic beings out of heaven, and the Lord God Almighty cast him to the earth. And when he came to earth, he would die to do one thing, mess it up. He would die and mess up Adam and Eve. He was waiting for the mess up Adam and Eve. And guess what he done? He done it. He went to Eve and told Eve, God is lying. He ain't telling you the truth. He knows the day you eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you're no good from evil. In other words, hey, you ain't gonna die, woman. You ain't gonna die. Go ahead and eat it. And Eve ate the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. And she went to her husband and told her, honey, you ought to try this. You and Satan was waiting for it. Satan had his tongue licking out. Satan's mouth was watering because he wanted to destroy God's creation. He wanted to destroy the whole human race. And let me tell you, he's doing a job on the human race today like never before. He did it in the Garden of Eden. And ever since then, he's been trying to eliminate God's population. He's been trying to kill babies. He's been trying to do everything to eliminate the population of the earth. And guess what? If man don't turn from his evil ways. God's going to bring judgment upon this world like never before, because he made the greatest sacrifice that God can ever make. God cannot do no greater fight than sacrificing himself. Think about that. No angel could die for him. No cherubim could die for him. No seraphim could die for him. No creature in heaven or on the other side of heaven or underneath the hell or on the right side of hell could make a sacrifice like Jesus done. And the reason he was able to make that sacrifice, he's eternal. Let's stop there. Eternal. No beginning and no end. God don't have no beginning. God don't have no end. God is God all by himself. He is self-existence. He has never made anything after his likeness like the human being. He has never. This is the first time God ever made anything after his likeness in holiness and after his likeness in physical look. God got arms, he got legs, he can see, he got ears, he can hear, he got a mouth, he can speak, he's a spirit. And those that worship him, those that honor him, those that adore him, those that love him must worship him in spirit and in truth. An unbeliever cannot come a true worshiper until he repents. You hear what I said? A sinner man cannot become a true worshiper until he repents. If he don't repent of sin and turn from his wicked ways, he cannot become a worshiper. He cannot worship God. God requires holiness. God is a spirit. You can't worship God in lying, cheating, backbiting, whoremongering, gambling. You can't worship God in sin. You cannot honor God in sin. You got to turn from your sin and repent with a broken, contrite spirit. You got to be so sorry, because let me tell you something. We are sorry. The human race is sorry. I used to be sorry. I used to thought that I could do what I want to do. I used to think that, but I wasn't a true worshiper. You cannot be saved until you turn from your sins and what? Confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead by the power of God. In other words, God raised himself from the dead. Ain't nobody in human history, ain't nobody on the other side of eternity, on this side of eternity, has ever raised anything from the dead. But Jesus Christ raised Jesus Christ through God Almighty raised himself from the dead, and he came out of the grave bodily. He had a glorified body. It was no flesh body, but it was a glorified body. It didn't have no blood. It didn't have no organs. He was a what? Eternal spirit. But man is a sinful, his spirit is sinful, unbelief, denying God. And then the flesh and the world is covered with debauchery. And man was born in sin, shaking in iniquity. Then my mother conceived me until this day. But when Christ saved me, he saved my soul from sin. And my body still has that sinful nature. I'm still able to sin. Not that I want to, but sin is in this physical body, and I'm fighting against not flesh and blood, but against a prince power of the air. I'm wrestling against the spirit, wrestling against the flesh, and the flesh wrestling against the spirit, and you're having a war inside. But when Christ came and died for my sin, he was able to go inside of my body, through my ear, through my eye, through my mouth, and fill me with the Holy Ghost. When he filled me with the Holy Ghost, he saturated my soul with his love and his mercy and his goodness and his forgiveness and his joy. He filled me with that, and now I got joy unspeakable and full of glory. And when that comes in, that means that I've been redeemed. I've been sealed with the Spirit until the day of redemption. And now the day of redemption is at hand. Christ is coming back after a church. Uh-oh. There's all kinds of denominations in the world today. There's all kinds of occult and secret societies in the world today that people are trying to claim God through these secret orders and through these church membership and through what they do and what they say. But you cannot deceive Christ like that. You got to repent. John the Baptist came through the wilderness, and he didn't say go to church. No, 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 no. He didn't say go down there, amen, and give your offering. He didn't say that. He didn't say nothing about works. He said repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He said repent and turn from your wicked ways. He didn't come in no Stacey Adams. He didn't come in a three-piece suit. He didn't come in a Cadillac. He didn't come. Oh, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. Oh, they didn't have Cadillacs in those days. They didn't have. Oh, you better watch what you say. Man, they had some chariots. Ooh, they had all kind of chariots in that day. Man, that chariot was like an automobile. Amen. If a man owned two horses and a chariot, man, he was a rich man. Good God Almighty, let me tell you, and what you see now is nothing new under the heavens and the earth. The only thing it is now, we don't turn horse energy into mechanical energy, and we got the automobile. And people, because the people today, think because they drive a fine car, they're going to heaven. They live in a fine house, they're going to heaven. They're making fine money. Never make it. You never make it because you can't buy your way. You can't buy your way to heaven. Amen. You can't compromise with God and say, Lord, listen, let's make a deal. Can I still sin and come on into your kingdom? Lord, could you make a way out that I can continue to sin and do like what I like? And then I'll give you some time for the day. You know, I'll spend some time with you and I'll acknowledge you. And you know what God's going to say? You can't work with me like that. I'm a holy God. I'm holy, 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 holy. I'm so holy that the moon and the stars and the atmosphere is impure to my sight. I'm holy, and I'm so holy that no physical man in his physical body can approach my holiness. I'm so holy, I say, I got, if you want to see me, if you want to live with me, you got to be holy. You got to be set apart from sin. You got to turn from your wickedness. You got to turn from your adulteries. And you got to turn from your whorish attitude. And you got to turn from your prostitution. You got to turn from your lying, cheating, and backbiting. You got to turn from that. You got to break down with a what? A spiritual breakdown and repent before God and recognize that you are wretched, that you are naked, that you are poor, that you are blind, and turn from your wicked ways. Because if you don't, if you don't turn from your wicked ways, and you're not saved, when the rapture occurs, you will be left here. When the rapture occurs, and you will say, preacher, you've been talking about the rapture ever since you've been on the air. And I came on in 2012, and I'm going to preach it until the rapture happens. And let me tell you something. You better look out, because we're in the year. We're in the fall month. We're in the appointed time. We're in the month of the feast of the Lord's feast. And let me tell you, there's three feasts left to be fulfilled. Oh, look ahead, look ahead. Look ahead. There's three feasts yet to be fulfilled. I'll say it again. There's three feasts left yet to be fulfilled. They're called the Lord's Feast. They're called appointed times. And the Jews are on it. The Jews are the only people on this planet that knows anything about the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of First Fruits, the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Yom Kippur, and the Feast of Tabernacles. The Jews are on it. They are looking for the Messiah to come pretty soon. They are preparing themselves to meet the Messiah, not the true Messiah, not the true Messiah, but the false Messiah. And the false Messiah, the Antichrist, the beast, the son of perdition, the wicked one, is alive today. I'll say that again. The Antichrist, the son of perdition, the beast, is alive today. And that one is waiting in the wing till he can come on the scene. And he is here on the planet today. Right now, he's alive today. He ain't no four or five years away from being born. No, he's alive today, and he's 54 years old. 54 years old. Listen to the word. The word said he would come out of the 10 European Comet Market Nation. The Bible say that. Now, I'm not going to get on the air and tell you a lie, because God cannot tolerate a liar. I'm not lying on the word of God. I'm telling you the biblical, authentic, eschatology truth. The Antichrist is alive, and he might be eating his lunch now. But I tell you one thing, he is alive, and he is waiting in the wing to come on the world scene. The world don't know where he at, but the word of God knows where he's at. And by me reading God's word and praying over God's word and being sincere with God's word and don't make up, I can tell you exactly where he's at and how he got there. The 10 European Comet Markets came into an existence in 1948. And from 1948 to 1981, guess what? The 10 European markets are full grown. Full grown. The last one was Greece. When Greece come in, that was the 10th toll. That was the 10th crown. That was ten horns, 10 crowns, 10 tolls, and 10 kings. They are in power now. The European Common Market, known as the New World Order. They are establishing it right now. And Greece was the last one in 1981. And I'm going to have to go back and talk to Daniel. And in the book of Daniel, the 7th chapter of the book of Daniel, you will read in there where Daniel said, I saw these 10 horns. Oh, I saw these 10 kings. I saw these 10 toes. I saw these ten authorities that will rule, 10 crowns. I'm going to go over that again because I want to get it right. 10 crowns, 10 kings, 10 toes, and 10 horns. That represent the 10 European Common Market Nations. They were done in 1981. 1981, the 10 nations of the European Common Market was finished. And then Daniel, after he had saw the 10 horns, he said, I look again, and out of those 10 horns, I saw another little horn. Now, you got to understand this. This is what Daniel saw 2,600 years ago. We're living in 2022. Daniel saw 2,600 years ago. He didn't have to give the name of the countries that came in, but he said the names of the countries would come. And these countries have came from 1948 to 1981. These countries are in power. And by being in power, praise God. Praise God, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. By being in power, these 10 horns in power? Not. They have been in power since 1981. When 1981 comes, Daniel said, I looked, and when I looked and saw another little horn, he said, now look, I thought the 10 horns that I did so was complete. But it wasn't complete until I saw 11th horn, the 11th horn. And this 11th horn represents the country that would enter in at the year, 6 years after 1981, 6 years later, 6 years later, 1981, from 1981 to 1986, which is 6 years later, this little horn came up amongst the other 10 horns, and that country is known as Spain. Spain is the 11th horn. This 11th horn joined the 10 other horns and became the head of the 10 horns, the 10 kings, the 10 toes. From 1986, from 1986 to the year 2014, there was a man called Juan Carlos, I'm going to drill it in you now because we ain't got too much time. Juan Carlos was the king of Spain from 1975 until 2014. From 1975, Generalissimo passed away, which was a dictator, and he brought Juan Carlos from Rome, Italy, and told Juan Carlos' father, to send your son down here because I want him to be the king after I pass off the scene and make him the king of Spain, because we have to bring Spain back to a democracy country before we can become the head of the 10 European common market nations. So from 1975 to 1986, Juan Carlos took the dictatorship-type country of Spain and brought it into democracy, and it took 10 years for him to do that. And when the 10 years was up, Spain became the head of the European common market, which is today, and from 1975 to 2014, Juan Carlos had grown old, and there was a lot of discrepancy in his kingship, and he had to hand, look here. Check this out. This is real. This is authentic. This is genuine. This is the inspiration of God's word. And God's word will never fail. God's word is true. In 1975, Juan Carlos took Spain and brought it to a democracy country. And from 1975 to 2014, he had been grown up, and he became too old. But Juan Carlos had a son. You hear what I'm saying? He had a son, and his name was Felipe, F-E-L-I-P-E, Felipe. His son was named Felipe, and he was born. Woo! Hallelujah! He was born in 1968. In 1968, he was born in Spain. And when he was born in Spain, Juan Carlos was going to make sure that when he gets up in age and can't be the king of Spain no more, he will hand the kingship over to his son. And guess what? He did it. He did it. He gave the throne to his son, and his son was named Felipe. And now Felipe is King Felipe. And King Felipe has been the king of Spain since the year 2014. And now it's 2022. So he has been the king of Spain for at least 9 to 10 years, if you would count 2014 to 2022, you will get about 8 or 9 years that King Felipe is the king of Spain. And this is the 11th horn that will come up out of Spain. And Spain, oh, look at this. This is awesome. This is mind-boggling to me. But I got to tell you, the Spanish people are descendants of Esau. And Esau was a brother of Jacob. And Jacob was the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. And the Spanish people in 1492 persecuted the Jewish people and drove them out of Spain. And it caused them to leave Spain. And when they left Spain, Christopher Columbus had 3 ships from Ferdinand and Isabella. And they gave him 3 ships. And they didn't discover America. That was God's hand directing those Jews to the United States of America. Oh, look at this. And the United States of America is the only friend of the only nation that the Jews have up on the planet right now. And if America don't watch out and don't stand and back the Jews up, we're going down the tubes, because the Jews is God's chosen. Oh, listen to what I'm saying. The scripture says that. Not what I'm saying. The scripture says that. The Jews is God's chosen people, because God chose the Jewish people to be what? The nations of the world, that they would be a representative of God's power, God's love, God's holiness. And the Jews down through 42 generations. And you say, well, why do God love the Jews so much? I'll tell you why he loved the Jews so much, because of Abraham. Abraham! Abraham walked by faith. He believed God. He trusted in God. He depended on God. He relied on God. And by God giving him the responsibility to trust in him, Abraham did it. Abraham did it. And because he did it, God said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your seed. And you're going to have nations. You're going to be the father of many nations. You're going to be blessed around the world. And let me tell you, the Jews is a blessed people without repentance, because God promised to Abraham. And from that time period until now, the Jews have been the only people on this planet that have really, really suffered a Holocaust. They have been punished. They have been boiled in oil. They have been crucified. They have been down and out. They have been disgruntled. They have been scattered all over the face of the earth. And God said, before I come back, I'm going to bring my people back to the land of Israel. And I'm going to deal with them for the last time. I'm going to reveal to them that the Messiah that they rejected in his first coming is the one that they should have accepted, but they didn't accept. They didn't receive it. John, the Gospel of St. John, said he came to his own, and his own received him not. But his men received him and gave them power to become the Son of God. And now the Jews have rejected Christ for the last 2,000 years. But the Bible says that at the end time, when the Jews are back into the land, God is going to bring them back in the land, and God's going to cause them to have one last opportunity. And the opportunity that they have, they're going to do it wrong. They're going to do it wrong. What the Jews going to do wrong? They're going to build a temple. They're going to build a temple. and they're going to get a heifer, red heifer cow, and they're going to sacrifice it, and they're going to sanctify the temple site, and they're going to rebuild the temple, thinking that this year false Christ is coming, is the true Christ, and he's not the true Christ. He's a liar. He's the fallen one. He's the one that Satan is going to use during the tribulation period. And the tribulation is almost here. It may come this year. And the way it looks now, I say 95.9, he's going to be coming this year, because this year is the year of years. This year is the year in which the Jews are saying, we are going to build a temple. We are going to build our third temple. They already have built two, and they were desecrated. They were burned down to the ground, but they were rebuilt. And now they haven't had a temple since 70 A.D. 70 A.D. until 2022, the Jews say, we are going to get our temple, and we're going to offer sacrifices, and we are going to offer all kinds of rituals, and we are going to do what? We are going to let you know right now. The Jews know what's going on. They know that the Messiah is coming, but it's the false Messiah. They're going to accept the false Messiah, because this false Messiah is going to tell them that they have a right to build a temple. They have a right to go in their sacrifices. They have a right to take the mosque and build this holy temple, because this is God's will. The Antichrist know that. And so he's going to use that, amen, to make a seven-year covenant with the Jewish people, not with the church. The church ain't got nothing to do with this. The church is the body of Christ. Israel is God's chosen people, because Israel has not fulfilled their ministry. And their ministry is going to be fulfilled during the tribulation period, because the tribulation period is going to be the gateway, for the Antichrist to rule and reign. But the Antichrist can't rule and reign while the church is here. It can't do nothing. So it's got to hide itself. You haven't heard nothing about this Antichrist, but let me tell you, the Bible reveals to me exactly where he's coming from, how old is he, and what are he going to do when he comes back. Woo! And a thief in the night. What you talking about, preacher? I'm saying the Antichrist cannot come. You hear what I'm saying? He cannot come on the world scene until the catching away. The catching away of the body of Christ. He can't come. And now is the time and season and appointed times for him to come, because the world is on his last leg. The world is getting ready. The world religions are joining together under one world church. They're getting it together. They're saying, let everybody come under one umbrella. Let everybody worship the same God, but worship in their own way. But you ain't worshiping God in your own way. The only way you can worship God is through the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit in your soul, if you have not been bought with a price, sealed with the Spirit until the day of redemption, if you have not been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, if you have not been repented of your sin and turned from your wicked ways, if you have not been filled with the Holy Ghost, if you have not seen and felt the love of God in your heart, being changed from dark to light, and you haven't confessed with your mouth and believed with your heart and washed in the blood of the Lamb, you are not in the church. You belong to the whorish church. You belong to the false church. You belong with the church. There's non-believers in the church, and they do anything they want to do. They cuss God, lie on God, talk about God. They drink, smoke, cuss, do anything they want to do, and call themselves Christian. But a Christian, you've been hit on the blind side, because a Christian cannot participate in that kind of stuff and be a mature Christian. Now, you can be lukewarm Christian and be half-hearted, amen, because there's a lot of carnal Christians. There are a lot of people who live carnally, but they're saved. Oh, yes, indeed. Because let me tell you, salvation is free. And if a person wants salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ and he repent of his sin, And he's not going to go back out there and just sin deliberately. He's going to sin after he gets saved. But if you confess and repent and break down that spirit and confess with your mouth, believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you can come to Christ. You can be saved in a twinkling of an eye. So the Antichrist is alive. He'll be 54 years old in January 30th. He come out of the European Common Market Nations. And the 10 European Common Market Nations, I'm going to name them for you, is Belgium, Netherlands, Luxembourg, West Germany, France, Italy, Great Britain, Ireland, Denmark, and Greece. Those are the 10. I'll name them again. Belgium, Netherlands, Luxembourg, West Germany, France, Italy, Great Britain, Ireland, Denmark, and Greece. Those are the 10 horns. And it was 10 horns up to 1981. 1981, 6 years later, as I told you before, the 11th horn came into existence. And that 11th horn was Spain. And out of Spain came the Antichrist. The Antichrist is here, full grown, 54 years old. He'll be 55 January the 10th. January the 10th, I feast on this. I believe he'll be here before the year's out. Why? Because it's too close. Too close. Too close to see what the Jews are preparing to do. Do you know what they're preparing to do? They're going to build this temple. They got the priesthood. They got the vessels. They got the spot. They got the ark. They're going to get the Ark of the Covenant. They're going to get that. And they're telling the world, come on and join us. Let us worship the true God. And when the rapture occurs, the true born-again believers will be snatched out of here in a moment of the twinkling of an eye. And the minute they're snatched out, that gives a gateway for the Antichrist to come. And when he comes, he's coming on a peace platform. Did you hear what I said? He's coming on a peace platform. He's coming from a democracy country. He's not coming from Africa. He's not coming from the United States. He's not coming from Argentina or Brazil. He's not coming from Mexico. He's not coming from Africa. He's not coming from Newfoundland. He's not coming from the 10 European Common Market, but that 11th horn, he's coming from Western Europe. He's coming from Western Europe. And the 10th horn that's in Western Europe is Spain. Spain is the brother. The Spanish people is the brother of the Israelites. Do you remember when Rebecca had two twins? Esau came out first. He said he was red and hairy. And Jacob came out second. And Jacob got a hold of Esau's heel and grabbed it. And when they came out, woo, good God Almighty, when they came out, Jacob took a hold of Esau's heel, and they both came out the same time with Jacob holding Esau's heel. What does that represent? That represents that Jacob, the surplanter, was going to overthrow Esau's birthright and his inheritance. And he did just what the catching of his heel represented. And when they got old enough, Esau had come back from a battle, and he was so tired and weary and worn, and Jacob was kicking some beans, some soup beans, some lentils. And when he was cooking the liver, Esau was so hungry, and he said, I'm so hungry, I can eat anything right now. And Jacob, the surplanter, the schemer, made a vow to me, if you will give me your birthright, I'll give you some beans And Esau discarded his birthright because he was the firstborn, and he had the right to inherit everything in the family because he was the firstborn. And Jacob said, if you will give me your birthright, I'll give you some beads. And Esau did it hastily, and he didn't care nothing about his birthright, and he sold his birthright to Jacob. And when he sold his birthright to Jacob, later on in life, Esau knew what he had done. And then Rebekah came along and said, now, look, you don't got his birthright. How about getting his inheritance? And Isaac was old. And Rebekah plotted up a scheme to get Esau's blessing and give it to Jacob. And guess what? She did it because they fooled Isaac, and Isaac went to Jacob. Jacob went to Isaac and put some fur on his arm. And Isaac said, you feel like Esau, but you got the voice of Jacob. And he blessed Jacob. And when Esau came back with some venison, because that's what Isaac liked, he come back with some venison and told him, Father, I got some venison. He said, you been hunting? I didn't know you had went hunting. And he said, I done gave your inheritance to Jacob because Rebekah and Jacob plotted up to take your inheritance, and it made Esau flaming mad. You done took everything I got because the first one I did something that I had no business doing. I did it in haste. And God didn't like what Esau said because he had the first right of the birthright. And in past time, make a long story short, in past time, Esau got so angry because Jacob had took everything he had deceitfully and left Jacob with nothing. And Jacob said, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. When I catch him, I'm going to kill him. And Esau, 400 men, and he was going to hunt down Jacob. And Jacob had 70 people in his family. And they was trying to get away from Esau because Jacob knew that Esau was chasing them down. And Jacob knew that he was in for a killing. But that night at Bethel, Jacob anointed a rock and slept on a rock. But early in the morning, an angel of the Lord came to Jacob, and Jacob wrestled with this angel, which is the angel of the Lord, which was the Lord God Almighty himself, wrestled with Jacob all night long until the break of dawn. And Jacob was holding on to the Lord God Almighty with his hand, and the Lord said, let me go. Let me go. And Jacob said, I will not let you go until you bless me. And at the break of dawn, God Almighty, the angel of the Lord, hit Jacob on the thigh and knocked it out of joint, put him down for the count. And the Lord God Almighty, the angel of the Lord said, I will no longer call you Jacob. I will call you the Israel, the Prince of God. I'm going to call you Israel, the Prince of God. And by that, Jacob found out that Esau was on his trail, and he had 400 men, and Jacob had some Jacob's trouble. Jacob had some Jacob's trouble because he was in for a killing. And when Esau saw Jacob and Jacob saw Esau, they both repented of their wrongdoing. And guess what? They embraced one another and kissed and cried on each other's shoulder And that's what you call Jacob's trouble in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, it was called Jacob's trouble. But in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah says there's another Jacob's trouble coming. And this Jacob's trouble will be called by the Antichrist, because the Antichrist is coming from Spain, and there's a mix of Jews and Spanish people that have crossbred into the genealogy of Esau and Jacob. And they call them kings and princes over there. And now the old time of Jacob's trouble will be fulfilled for the last time in the book of Jeremiah. This is what it said. Ooh, listen, I hope you can get a hold of this. I hope you can get a grip of this. Amen, because this is real. This is real. Listen to what it says in Jeremiah 30th chapter of Jeremiah. It reads this. 30th chapter, the 7th verse. Let's read this verse very carefully. It reads thus. Jeremiah 30:6. As ye now, this Jeremiah, as ye now and see whether a man does travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his lines, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. At last, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. What is Jeremiah talking about? Jeremiah talking about Israel is going to come in contact with another time of Jacob's trouble in the latter part of the 3.5 years of the tribulation period, when the Antichrist, you hear what I'm saying now? The Antichrist will take the 10 nations that's behind him and make an attack upon Jerusalem at the close of the what? The Great Tribulation, and try to exterminate the Jewish people from the face of the earth. And it's going to be more trouble than the time of Jacob's trouble in the Old Testament. But the New Testament is going to be 10 nations instead of 400 men. And the Bible says God will deliver Israel into a place called Petra and ship them down there for 1,260 days. And let me tell you something, that 3.5 years, God is going to hide Israel from the face of the Antichrist. And the Antichrist is Catholic, he's Latino, and he got Jewish blood in him. Yes, sir, he got Jewish blood in him. So he's familiar with Jewish history. He's familiar with Latino history. He's familiar with descendants of Esau and the Jews come from the same womb. And this year is still going on. And the Spanish people have a resentment against the Jewish people because of what was did biblically in the Old Testament, what Jacob done to Esau. Woo! And so God, that same spirit, is going to fall on the last part of the 3.5 years. The 3.5 years won't occur until what? The first 3.5 years are done. The first 3.5 years is going to be mild, but it's going to kick off at the close of the 3.5 years. It's going to get real bad. But what's going to stun the nations? What's going to stun the world? What's going to stun hell? It ain't going to stun heaven, because heaven knows what's going to get ready to go on. But it's going to stun every person on this planet. It's going to stun them. It's going to mesmerize them. Because number one, this Antichrist is a man, just like you and I. He's flesh and blood, and he's able to be killed. And in the middle of the tribulation period, there's going to be an assassination of the Antichrist in the middle of the tribulation. Assassin is going to shoot him through the head with a bullet. And the bullet going to kill him. And he's going to lay dead in the morgue for 3 days. Dead 3 days. In the 12th chapter of Revelation, you see a war going on in heaven. And this war is between God Almighty and Satan. And God is going to give Michael the permission to cast him down to earth. He's in first and second heaven now. Satan is there. He's lodging because he's the prince power of the air. He's ruling men's lives. He's messing up families. He's killing our young folks. He's raping. His debauchery is madness. And he's going to continue to do it until his time is up. And he knows now, Satan knows, his time is almost out. He's done. 6,000 years he'll raise hell everywhere he goes. In the churches. Everywhere. Football games, basketball games, street corner, street fight, racial discrimination, Ku Klux Klan, raising hell in the streets, killing and murdering drug addicts rampant through our land, and nobody has the remedy. But the only remedy, you got to go to the cross. God can't change you unless he change your heart. Man don't want a heart change. He wants to go to a reformer and try to reform himself. But you got to have a heart change before it can straighten out. And if men don't turn to God, there won't be no heart change. God will have to wipe off most of the population on this planet because they won't turn to him. They won't love him. They won't worship him. Man is saying, no, I'm gonna get a little vulgar here. Man is saying to hell with God. That's what they're saying. They're saying that cross that you talking about, you can shove it up the tube. I don't want nothing to do with the blood of Jesus Christ. In fact, I don't even need the man. The man was a farce anyway. People are talking about God like that in his darling son. And they think they can get away with it. Well, you can't get away with it. This Antichrist is going to be dead for 3 days. And Satan will be cast out of heaven. And all his angels, billions of them, billions of wicked, debauchery spirits. Wicked spirit, so wicked. Some of the things they do, I'm embarrassed to even mention what they do. They do anything. They'll shoot your mama, your daddy, your sister. They'll rape your daughter. You'll go incest. They'll do anything. They'll take drugs and kill themselves. They'll jump off a building. They'll do anything. They'll do anything opposite of holiness. This Antichrist will lay in the morgue for 3 days and three nights. And after the 3 days and three nights, Satan will actually bust heaven wide open. He'll come out of the first and second heaven. And he knows now that he headed for the bottomless pit. But before he head to the bottomless pit, he's got to do a miracle. He's got to do a miracle to deceive the world and try to convince the world that he is God Almighty. Well, what is he going to do, Brother Bazaar? Well, I really don't know, but I have to go to the Word and tell you what he's going to do. He's going to reincarnate himself into the body of the Antichrist. And he's going to heal that wound on his head. And he's going to literally, openly, visually, be resurrected from the dead on live TV, on live internet, on TikTok, on Twitter, on every internet station that you
the world is going to witness a resurrection of the Antichrist. Satan said, I'm going to convince the world that I am God Almighty, that I am Jesus Christ, that I am the one that's going to bring. He will convince majority of the world that he is God Almighty because he's going to resurrect. And when he resurrects, he's going to say that he's God Almighty. And the temple that the Jews are preparing to build, the first 3.5 years, they're going to use this temple for sacrifice. But in the middle of the 3.5 years, Satan says, now I got you. I'm going to discontinue your worship. I'm going to discontinue your temple ceremony. I'm going to discontinue everything, and I'm going to cause abomination and desolation that was spoken by Daniel Puff. I'm going to take that off of the covenant, and I'm going to shove it out of the way. I'm going to go into the holies of holies, and I'm going to sit on my own personal throne, and I'm going to tell the world that I am God Almighty. Look what I have done. I have come back from the dead. I've been resurrected just like, no, I ain't going to say just like Jesus. No. There's no comparison. Because when Jesus Christ came back to life, he bust the grave open. This man is going to be laid in the morgue. And he's going to get up out that coffin and stand up on the pinnacle and go inside the temple and tell the Jewish people that he is God Almighty. And the world, the Gentile world, the unbelieving world will go head on and say, yes, this is God Almighty. This is Jesus Christ. This is the one we've been looking for. Well, Brother Bazaar, where did you get that at? I got that in the book of Revelation at the 13th chapter. I'm going to get to it in a minute. The Antichrist sets up a statue, a cyborg statue, half human, half man, half machine. And the false prophet is going to cause what? It's going to cause it to speak. Who is a false prophet? The Pope is a false prophet, my friends. You better believe it. He's a false prophet because already the Roman Catholic Church have done miracles in the Vatican. They do some wicked stuff in the Vatican. I mean, so wicked you can't hardly believe it. And they have tried to keep it a secret, but let me tell you, your sins will find you out. This false prophet is going to cause fire to come out of heaven. He's going to do miracles in the presence of all the world. And the world will say, yes, this is Jesus Christ. Praise God. And they are going to look at this statue. And this statue is going to have power enough to speak and cause all that hears him. And he's going to make it a decorative order that if you will fall down and worship me and receive the mark of the beast, you can be my worshiper. If you refuse the mark, you will not be able to buy, neither sell anything. You won't be able to go to your bank account. You won't be able to live in your home. You won't be able to cash a check. You won't be able to do nothing until you identify yourself with the mark of the beast, and that is a computer chip in your right hand or in your forehead. So the Jews are getting ready now. They are getting ready. They are working 24/7 around the clock to get this year schematic view of the temple so they can start building it right now. If they start building it right now and got the plan, that means the Antichrist is ready, amen, to make a covenant with them. And the Antichrist cannot make a covenant until they receive a covenant with the Antichrist. And the Antichrist in the 6th chapter of Revelation comes riding on a white horse. So he's going to come looking good, looking stout, looking debonair, looking handsome. Woo! I don't know what he's going to wear. I don't know what he's going to drive in, but I'm ad-libbing it now. And he said white horse. I believe the Bible tells you he's going to be riding in a white limousine. I believe he's riding a white horse with a white garment. I believe that he's going to be riding a white, woo, military suit. And the world will say yes, because when he comes on the scene, he's going right straight to Jerusalem. And he's going to make his throne in Jerusalem, because that's the city of the king, and the devil wants to be the king of Jerusalem. But the devil can't be the king of nobody. He's a nobody, ooh, trying to damn everybody. Ooh, but I know somebody who can save anybody if they will come to Jesus Christ, because you cannot be saved from this year Holocaust and from this year devastation that's coming on the planet until you accept Jesus Christ. And those that left here after the rapture, every born-again believer will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Every blood-washed one, everyone that's been redeemed, will be babies, and those that have not met the responsibility or accountability will be leaving this planet in the twinkling of an eye. Make no difference where you are or who you're around. If you've been born again, you're out of here. You're out of here, and the graves will bust open. Ooh, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was awesome. He blew that grave open, got up out the grave, and said, now I got all power in my hand. I am the King of Kings. I am the lily of the valley. I am the bright morning star. I am the root and offspring of David. I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of heaven. I am the living water. I am the brighter than the morning star. I am the shelter for those that won't shelter. This is Jesus I'm talking about. But this Antichrist don't have no kind identification that he is Jesus Christ. They got no kind of ID. You got to have some ID. What's the ID of Christ? The ID of Christ is nail-scarred hands. Nail-scarred feet. Identity of Christ. A pierced side. A crown of thorns with a briar stuck into his roof. I want proof. Look at the whips on his back. 39 stripes on his back. A lot of people say, well, will Jesus have them when we get to heaven? Yes, he's going to have them. Well, he got a new body. Yeah, he got a new body. Those marks and those nail scar hands ain't going to disappear. No! That's his redemption qualification. He's able to redeem men's soul from sin, death, and hell in the grave and Gehenna and Tartarus. Woo! Redeemed man! Woo! For the first and last time. Because if you get saved, you're saved forever. The devil can't steal your salvation. He can't take your salvation. He can't sell your salvation. He can't drill the salvation out of you. You've been sealed with the Spirit until the day of redemption. I know I've been born again. I know Satan is trying to reclaim me. But he can't reclaim me because he can't get close to the blood of Christ. He can't stand the blood of Christ. Too powerful for him. I'd like to see somebody, woo, go to a steel mill and see all that melted steel in a big pot bubbling. I'd like to see you go in there and take something out of it. I'd like to see you go down there and reach your hand down there and pick up something. I like to see you go down there and stay and then come up again. I like to see it. You can't do it. And Satan cannot steal your salvation. He cannot go inside your spirit, man, your gateway, and your soul and take the blood of Jesus Christ and throw it off on the side of the street. He can't do it. And he's mad about it. He's mad because you're a child of God. He's mad because you pray to him. He's mad because you praise him. He don't want you to praise God. He wants to praise. Well, he ain't getting nothing from me. No, he's not getting nothing from me. He ain't getting a nickel, dime, nothing. He ain't getting a breath of air from me because he's a low-down cutthroat, no good for nothing. He could have been something, but he got too much pride. He had beauty beyond undescribable. And now he's doomed for what? He's doomed for Gehenna. Hell itself. And there's a hell of a gang in the hell to shun. Don't let nobody fool you. Don't let nobody con you. Don't let nobody talk you out saying there ain't no hell. God ain't that mean. God ain't that cruel to put you in hell. Well, God ain't never put nobody in hell unless they wanted to go. But he said, whosoever will, come on. The price is right. Tells you to come on down. But Jesus Christ is saying, come on down at the foot of the cross and kneel and repent of your sins, and I'll save you from the clutches of Satan. I'll save you from my everlasting fire. I'll save you from moaning and groaning and gritting the teeth. I'll save you from resentment and agony that you want to spend in hell if you don't come to me, because I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the world today think they can escape hell, but the Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which was first prophesied by the prophets? But in the last day, Christ Jesus talked about it, and he warned us about it, and he told us about it, and he said, if a man die, shall he live again? And Job said, I'll wait till my change comes. In Hebrews, it says, it's appointed for once a man to die, and after death, his business be the judgment. And let me tell you, you're going to die one day, and if you die without Jesus Christ, hell going to be your home. And I don't know about you having an address down there. You ain't going to be able to live on the street. You ain't going to be able to go down to the park. You ain't going to have no partying, and you ain't going to have no time for relaxation. Don't go to hell. Please don't go, because if you go, it won't be nobody's fault but yours. It'll be yours. Don't let nobody talk you out of the salvation that Christ brought. Don't let nobody tell you because they are Baptist that they're going to hell. You ain't going to heaven. Amen. You ain't going to heaven because Baptist ain't going to save you. Presbyterian ain't going to save you. Catholic ain't going to save you. The Illuminati's ain't going to save you. The Mormons ain't going to save you. Voodoo ain't going to save you. Astrology ain't going to save you. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can save you from your sins. Where were we? Oh, yeah. We back at the resurrection of the Antichrist. He turns on the whole human race. He becomes the beast. Let's see where the resurrection occurs. It occurs in the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, we see the resurrection of the Antichrist. 13th chapter. I read this before last week, but I'm going to read it again. It says this. The second verse, we'll go to second verse, and says, and the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were as fine as a feet of a bear. His mouth was the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, the devil gave him his power. The devil gave him his power and his seat and a great authority. That's the second verse. And then we go down to the assassination, third verse. He says, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed. After the deadly wound was healed and he was resurrected under false pretenses, under the power of Satan, his deadly wound was healed. And he walked again up on the face of the earth. And the Bible says, and all, A-L-A, I don't know what you're talking about, and all of what? The majority of the world will accept this resurrection as being Jesus Christ. And they will do what? They will actually, a devil deal with the devil. Listen to what it says. And they worship the dragon. They worship the devil. through the Antichrist. They think they're worshiping Christ, but they're worshiping the dragon. They're worshiping the devil. The devil got you. It convinced the majority of the world. And they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Who is able to come against the beast? No army in the world is not an army in the world. There's not no powers in the world can overturn this system that's coming up on earth. Nobody can overturn it. But God is going to destroy it. He's going to eliminate it. He's going to take the false prophet and the beast and cast them into the bottomless pit at the end of the tribulation period. No, he ain't. That ain't what the Bible says. It don't cost him. Cast the Antichrist and the false prophet into a lake of fire. They are going to be the first two in the lake of Gehenna. That'll be the first two people that literally go to hell. Because when you go to hell, you go to a waiting place, Hades, and you wait there until the final resurrection. But these two guys here, they're going straight to hell at the end of the tribulation period. They will be cast into the lake of fire. That's the false prophet and the Antichrist. And they will be burning in hell after the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on the earth. They'll still be burning. The devil and his angels are going to be cast into the bottomless pit because Satan is going to be shut up for 1,000 years that he won't bring deception up on the earth until the 1,000 years are over. Then he's going to let loose again to test the men that were born during the millennium reign. And the test is unbelief. Although these people are going to be born, are going to be able to live for many of years, thousands, live for like 500, 600, 700 years, and they're going to be born in natural bodies, and they're going to witness Jesus Christ in Jerusalem for 1,000 years and see and talk and walk and see the loving Christ for 1,000 years. See the nail prints in his hand. See the nail prints in his feet. See the whips on his back. See every identical mark that he received at the cross. And they're going to wait till the end of the millennium reign. And those that got saved during the millennium reign will enter into heaven. Those that refuse after Satan is let loose, they will deny and link up with Satan one more time. God is going to prove that man is totally depraved. He is sick. After you done seen Jesus, talk with Jesus during the millennium reign, and then Satan is let loose, and you go and deny that he exists, that he lives, and refuse salvation, Satan is going to gather a mass host around the city called Gog and Magog. And when they do that at the end of the millennium reign, God is going to rain fire down on them and burn every last one of them up because they rejected after they had been with, seen, heard, knowing who Jesus Christ was. That is coming up. It's coming up because the word of God says it's coming up. And if I'm lying, I'm dying. If I'm lying, you just want to take my head down on the guillotine and chop my head off. Because the word of God does not lie. And I'm not gonna tell no lie on God. God cannot tolerate a liar. Because the Bible said all liars should be cast into the lake of fire. Well, you say, well, what is a liar? Because I've lied before. Well, what is a liar? The Bible said, who is a liar? He that denies that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God and that Jesus Christ is not God Almighty in the flesh. You are a liar because you have denied the record that God gave the world that he is the Son of God. And you're going around here saying that he don't exist. He didn't come from the grave. He's not God Almighty in the flesh. You are a flat-blowing liar. And all liars will be cast into the lake of fire. So if you're going to hell, there's one sin that you're going to hell for. You didn't know that, did you? You're going to hell for one sin. And what is that sin? Is it fornication, lying, cheat, backbiting? Is it that? No. The Bible says all liars will be cast into the lake of fire. Well, who is a liar? Those that reject the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ and deny that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. You hear what I say? Deny, reject, ignore that Jesus Christ is God Almighty, that he arose again from the grave and that he's coming back again. You are a flamboyant liar. And the world is saying, I don't care. I ain't worried about that stuff. God ain't going to put me in there. God ain't that mean. And God is not mean. No, ain't a mean bone. Ain't a mean body. Ain't a mean body. I don't know how to say this. There ain't a mean thing in him. He is a compassionate God, a loving God, a long-suffering God. And God is angry at the wickedness of mankind. He ain't angry at the man. He's angry at the wickedness that he does. And if he loved the wickedness more than he loved God, God said, take it. Go ahead. You got a choice. I'm not going to pump you. I'm not going to beat you across the head to accept me. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to drive you insane saying, yeah, receive me or I'll beat you. Uh-uh. He said, whosoever will, let him come. Come on. So you can be saved. Because hell is real. Hell is real. There ain't no plaything. People say, hell yes, hell no. How the hell are you? Where the hell you going? People got the nerve to say, go to hell. Some people say, go to hell. Well, I say, well, if I go to hell, he say, you just come from hell, and you a fool for leaving. Oh, man, they use hell more than they use heaven. We got a cussing generation like never before. Use all kind of profanity. Don't care nothing about who God is. Eternal, self-existent. And he is the God of love. I'm in love with it. I love him in the morning, love him in the afternoon, love him when I go to bed at night, love him when I'm upset, love him when I'm depressed, love him. And the world don't want to love God because they don't want to take orders. They don't want to have nobody over them. They want to do what they want to do. Well, I pray for those that are lost. I pray for those that seem like they don't know where they're at. But let me tell you, whatever you do, go to hell. I can't say it enough. 13th chapter. Let's see what else this Antichrist says. And they worship the dragon which gave power to the beast. And they worship the beast and who is like the beast, who is able to make war with them. And there was given to him a mouth, speaking great things and blaspheming. And power was given to him to continue. The 42 months. The 42 months represent the last part of the tribulation period of 1,260 days. 42 months, times and times and dividing times. He will rule and reign the whole world for 3.5 years. I'll say that again. He will rule and reign for 3.5 years. He will stamp the residue of the earth. He will wear out the saints. He will make a executive the law that whoever will not worship the beast and receive the mark on their right hand or on their forehead to be decapitated by the guillotine. The guillotine is in America right now. And some folks don't even know who the one ordered guillotines over here about 8 or 9 years ago. Who was president? Barack Obama, a Muslim. He never confessed Christianity. He never confessed Christ. He says it's not necessary to go through all that. And he ordered 60,000 guillotines. Now, America government is not going to witness this. They ain't going to tell you that. They got grain coffins. They got FEMA camps. They got Walmart getting ready to ship people in train cars. Oh, yes, it's coming. It's coming. It may not look like it. You may think you're having a party, but it's coming, church. Where is the church? Where is the church? Hiding somewhere. Where is the preacher? They hiding under prosperity. They're hiding under how much money they got. They're hiding under what they can do with some woman running off with that. They're frivolous. They ain't got no power. They're scared to detest sin and reject sin. I ain't compromising with me. I ain't compromising with myself. If I'm wrong, I'm just plain wrong. But I ain't compromising. Because God is not a compromising God. God is a salvation God, delivered you from sin, death, hell, and the grave. How long is hell? Forever. Fire will never go out. Won't one out of few. Who will go to hell? The unregenerated ones, the lost. The lost. Those that don't know Christ, that's who's going to hell, period. You can't go half and half. He can't spit you in half, and half you go to heaven, and half you go to hell. Either you got it whole, or you just lost. 42 months of hell on earth. 42 months of bloodshed. 42 months of the residue of the earth. The beast is going to stamp it, and he's going to eat up flesh like an animal eating another animal. And he's eating flesh today. People are eating up everything. Cannibalism all over the world. People refuting it and dare God to do something. And God is using tornadoes and hurricanes, all kinds of volcanoes. He's using everything to convince man and let man, you know who I am. I am the I am of the I am. I am the beginning and I am the end. And before you ever was thought of, I exist. And when you are dead and gone, I'll still be living. That's what I ain't talking about myself because I'm appointed to die. If the rapture don't come, I'm appointed to die. And after that, I'm going to judgment. And I know what my judgment is already. My judgment, I'm going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. Because that's the judgment seat of Christ is different from the judgment of the great white throne. When I go to heaven to be judged, before God, I'm going to be judged for my salvation. I'm going to be judged for my works that I've done with my salvation. The wicked going to be judged for the works they've done for Lucifer, for the devil. They were partying back, jamming, man. They were doing all kind of big things. They were going all kind of sex orgies. They going all kind of illicit sex. They doing all kind of adultery, all kind of fornication. Oh, they living it up. They doing it. They doing it. And they said, I don't give a damn. I'm going to enjoy this flesh. And that flesh will take you right straight to hell because the more you sin, the more you stay in your sin, the more harder it is for you to be redeemed because sin hardens the heart. That's why it's good to receive Christ while you're young. Because when you get up in age and you never receive Christ, it'll be more difficult for you to acknowledge. You're an old rotten sinner. That's all you are. Yeah, you go to church, but that don't mean nothing. You're a rotten sinner. You fanny hypocrite. And the Bible says there's no hope to a hypocrite. And the Bible's right. Don't go. Please, Mr. Postman, Mr. Football Player, Mr. Track Runner, please don't go. Mr. Bakery, don't go. Mr. Airplane Pilot, don't go. Mr. Race Car Driver, don't go. Mr. Football Player, don't go. Basketball Player, don't go. Nobody paying attention to him. God done everything he could do. And he can't do no more. My friends, this is Elder G. Bazaar coming to you from Warren, Ohio. I hope you understand what I'm trying to talk about. It's in the Word of God. Time is up. Church age is over. Laodicea is getting ready to close down. What I mean by that is getting ready to go into the tribulation period. And all this judgment is going to come up on earth. God said, I got something before it happens. I got something for the world to hear. I got something to offer the world something. I got something that the world needs to hear just like it's supposed to be preached. Because as a church, the church has failed God. But although we have failed God, folks have been saved. Through the preaching of the gospel through the church. As a whole, the church has failed God. Individually, it's a different story because some people are on fire for God. Some people, preachers are preaching the word like, whoo, they're preaching, there's a hell, they'll tell you, holiness of hell. Follow peace with all men and holiness, but without no man shall see the Lord. So if you're living a holy life through the blood of Jesus Christ, sanctified, justified, edified, come on with it. Come on with it. Tell the world. Tell that life. There's hope. You can escape the damnations of hell. But at the close, listen what it says. He opened his mouth and blasphemed against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. During this part of the tribulation period, the devil will blaspheme those that are in heaven, and that is the church, blaspheme God, because we are in heaven, and he's on the earth, getting ready to be judged, and he is cussing heaven out. He's cussing heaven out. Cussing like a born sailor. He's mad because God got his church. And it was given to him to make war with the saints. So he's going to get the ones that left after the church is gone. He's going to try to exterminate the saints that left on here, on earth. Those that left here was not saved. So they was left here. And since they were not saved, God said, I got a job for my people. I got a job for the Jews. I got a job for the Hebrews. I got a job for Israel. I got a job for the apple of mine eye. I got a job that they are going to do after the rapture of the church because there won't be nobody here to preach the gospel. But God said, I am going to send, listen, I am going to send what? I'm going to send 144,000 evangelists. I'm going to send you 144,000 preachers. And they are going to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And the gospel of the kingdom is going to be found in the seventh chapter of Revelation. The gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached by the blessed Jews 144,000 evangelists. 12,000, you hear what I said? 12,000 from each tribe of Israel. 12,000 from the God's chosen people. 12,000 from each tribe. Look what John the Revelator pinned down across the time of history. He said, and I heard the number of them which were sealed, and were sealed with 144,000 of all the tribe of Israel, children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah, 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. The tribe of Gad, 12,000. The tribe of Asher, 12,000. The tribe of Nephilim, 12,000. The tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. The tribe of Simeon, 12,000. The tribe of Levi, 12,000. The tribe of Issachar, 12,000. The tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. The tribe of Joseph, 12,000. The tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. 12,000 times 12 equals 144,000 spirit-filled Hebrews men that will preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. And the gospel will be that Jesus Christ is coming again to set up his millennial kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. The millennial kingdom. The church preached the gospel of grace. But now the Jews say, we're going to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus Christ is coming back. That's it. And he's going to rule and reign in the millennium reign. And he's going to restore mankind back to him through the shed blood on Calvary. These men preached for 3.5 years. They preached January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. Yes, yes. He's going to do that for 3.5 years, and it's going to turn the world upside down. And guess what? Those that were left here after the rapture of the church, they're going to hear the gospel of the kingdom, and they're going to get saved. 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 Yeah. Going to get saved by the preaching of the gospel by the Jewish people, because the Jews owe the Lord, and the Lord owed them 7 more years to fulfill their mission, what he put them on the earth for. He put the Jews on the earth for 3 things. To write the Holy Scripture, to bring the Messiah in, and be the nation, to be a representative of all the heathen nations, that there's only one true living Almighty God. And this mighty God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten Son. They're going to preach it on TV, radio. They're going to preach it on the internet. They're going to preach it on YouTube. They're going to preach it on Twitter. They're going to preach it on TikTok. They're going to preach it on every international internet that you can see. They're going to have a big screen in New York Square. It's going to be around the world. It's going to hit every city in the United States. It's going to hit Maine. It's going to hit Pennsylvania. It's going to hit New Jersey. It's going to hit Ohio. It's going to hit West Virginia. It's going to hit North Carolina, South Carolina. It's going to hit Alabama. It's going to hit Atlanta, Georgia. Oh, yes, indeed. People are going to say, yes, this is going down. God is putting out the ammunition. And guess what? Many people will accept Christ, not only in United States, but around the world. Russia is going to hear it. Bulgaria is going to hear it. The whole world is going to hear it. And the Jews is going to be the number one nation. And God said, I'm tired of y'all being the tail. I'm going to put you at the head. And God's going to put them at the head. And when the Jews get at the head and get it right, man, oh dear, you talking about hot fire? You talking about a boiler? You talking about calling the fire department? Woo! He's going to tear old Satan's kingdom down. Satan coming down. 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 What happens after they get through preaching for the 3.5 years? What did John see? Let's see what the Bible says he saw. This is what it says. It says, and after this, after what? The preaching of the 144,000, I beheld, lo, a great multitude. A great multitude which no man could number. Of all nations. All nations. All nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hand. This is the greatest, most unique revival that will ever hit the planet. And it won't be motivation speeches. It won't be how many cars I got. It won't be some ruckus and some crazy man coming on the scene talking about he got the answer. It will be the gospel of the kingdom by the Jewish nation that the world will hear and to tell me a number. Uh-oh. Listen to what it says. A number that no man can number. And cried with a loud voice. Oh, this is in the 7th chapter of Revelation. And cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and into the Lamb. And all the angels stood around a throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worship God, woo, saying, amen, blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might unto our God forever and ever and ever. These are, listen to me, these are the tribulation saints. These are the people that got left here, but God saved. These are the people, young people, elderly people, people who believe the 144,000 message and they receive Christ and they will have to go through the great tribulation. Many will lose their lives because they will make a stand. Woo! Just like the church needs to make a stand now. These 144,000 and these ones that got saved will make a stand and they will proclaim to the world that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God, to the glory of God. And many people will receive Christ during the tribulation period. No church. You ain't going to church no more. Church is gone. It'll be one-on-one. And people will get together, but they got to be careful when they get together because the Antichrist will be looking for them like a dog running down a rabbit. And if you are a Christian in this time, and in this time of the part of Revelation, you are guaranteed if you don't receive the mark of the beast and they catch you, you are dead meat. And God will give you power to go to the guillotine in victory. You can destroy my body. You can burn my body. You can chop my body up. You can throw it in the fire. You can do anything, but you can't touch my soul. My soul is untouchable. Why? Because God has my soul in his hand. And if it's in God's hand, nobody can touch you. So the last part of the tribulation is going to be really hell on earth. Now listen what it says. And one of the elders answered. And they said unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed. Oh, yeah. Wash their robes, their soul, their spirit. Wash their robes and made them white. You talking about white? Wow. This is white above white. In the blood of the Lamb. And you talking about something white. When the blood of Jesus Christ washed your sins away, I mean away, 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 you become white as snow. 15 verse said, therefore are they before the throne of God, serving him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Oh, yes, this is good time here. Yeah. It's good stuff. Listen, they shall hunger no more. I ain't got to worry about hunger no more, because I'm not going to be in the tribulation saint. I mean, I'm in the church, so I'll be gone at this time. These are the tribulation saints. I'm going to wipe away your tears, because there was a lot of tears going through that tribulation period. He said, thou shalt hunger no more, neither thirst anymore, neither shall the sun light on them any, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. God going to feed us and shall lead them into living waters, living fountain of waters. And God, hallelujah, praise God, shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad that I've been born again. I'm telling you here right now, sisters and brothers, this is the time and hour that we're living in, and we need to recognize that this is awesome. Get ready, get ready, get ready. For the Feast of Trumpets is just around the corner, the 25th, the 26th, and the 27th is a ultimate day of reckoning for the world, but not for the church. Christ will descend from him. Uh-oh, I'm sorry. You know something? They say, don't predict the day. No man knows the hour, day, or time. Only but the Father. I didn't mean to say that. I don't know the hour or the day, but I know the seasons of times. I know the appointed times. And the trumpets are to blow at appointed time on the 25th, 26th, and 27th. And if nothing happened, I'm going for another year. But right now, I'm staying with this. I've been looking for this for a long time. I've been preaching this for a long time. 57 years of the gospel of Jesus Christ. A lot of people turned me aside, rejected me, talked about me. I was a fanatic. I'm crazy. I lost my mind. You fanatical. That's all right. I'd rather be a fanatical going to heaven than somebody call themselves being in their right mind go to hell. And that's one thing I know. God is not going to send me to hell. Oh, why? Because I accepted his son. And because I accepted his son, he said, come on with me, Bazaar. We got something to talk about. We got time and eternity to live with you. I'm going to show you things. I'm going to give you things. I'm going to reward you for your service that you have given me while you was on this earth. You ain't no big-time preacher. You ain't no so-called educated with a doctor's degree. He said, I ain't worried about that. But one thing I can say, you preach the word. You told it just like it is. My friends, God loves you. God smile on you. I don't know how long I'm going to be on the air, but I'll come on much as I can. Stay tuned. Keep the faith. We're going home pretty soon. And if I don't see you here, I can maybe see you in heaven, and you can say, I heard you while you was here on earth, because we ain't gonna forget what we've done for the Lord here on earth. God is not gonna forget. And if I touch somebody's heart, I'll shout glory. Don't be left here. If you left here, you got to know how to handle the situation. And if you leave and you know the church done left, first thing you gotta do is make sure you save. Make sure you say, if you're on the